So we're live, Rob.
Hey, we are live.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good, Jersey.
Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com. And that would make me Jersey Drozd of comicsaregreat.com and leanintoart.com. So
it would.
How you doing? How you feeling? Are you recovered after
I'm feeling a lot like the character from Mr. Roboto, Kilroy.
How so?
I don't know. I just got that song in my head, so I feel like the man.
I don't remember saying. I'm not a robot.
I almost have the lyrics on the tip of my tongue, but they're not coming to me. But.
What, the Domo Arigato thing?
Oh well, yeah.
Oh, I don't know any others besides
I've
that.
I've got the main refrain.
I only know the lyrics that I heard on those late night collections of 80s music commercials that you used to see.
Sure.
Anyway.
VW commercial, Volkswagen. Anyway.
So before we kick to the topic, I've got observation to share from my week, which I wanted to save for a Thunder Punch Daily, which I probably will. I mean, I'm going to get back on the horse with that pretty
soon. And congratulations, Jersey, by the way, Thunder Punch Daily coming back.
Oh, yeah, we did a Thunder Punch special, number three. With Richard Stevens. I mean, I had a guy out visiting from Australia, cartoonist who worked on Sugary Cereals with me. He was there for Kids Read Comics, and I thought I would be a fool to not get this guy's experiences documented while he's out here. And fortunately, he was gracious enough to sit behind the mic with me for a little while. So yeah, that's at comicsaregreat.com/TPDS03. We can put it in the show notes. So TPDS03. So, I have some things that I've been journaling. you're a poisonous influence on me sometimes, Rob, in terms of finances. So when you were out here for Kids Read Comics, I noticed that you had this crazy little funny wallet that you can keep 3x5 index cards in. Do you have that on you? There it is. So, and what is this thing that you got?
Well, let's see. It has actually three pockets in it, and it is by Oxford. It sounds so fancy. They're a paper company, right? And they probably make index cards, I would assume. It holds 4x5 index cards. I don't know if I have like super awesome secrets on there, but I guess whatever, bonus for people watching the video. And let's see, it has a pocket that's sort of that's like vertical, but it just hugs by the sides. And then it has a vertical pocket that hugs on the ends of the card. And it's got a center pocket that just holds more cards. That's just like kind of like a, where's one of these sides here? There we go. It's like a mouth. Rom, 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 rom. But you know,
so yeah, it's this really cool thing to hold index cards, because index cards are a great note capturing device, because it's for just, you know, you can throw it away once you've put it into your Evernote or whatever, you know, digital archiving thing. And if it's an ephemeral thought that you just don't know what it's for, you just throw it away anyway. And, you know, I've been using things like the hipster PDA kind of thing, where it's just note cards held with a binder clip. But after I saw you, and you are a nutty note taker. I mean, while we were hanging out in a social capacity, you were taking notes while we were talking.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty compulsive about it. I capture anywhere and everywhere.
Which I think is a good habit. I think it's a great habit. And I've gone on record to talk about this in the past. I mean, we just, in the last couple episodes, I don't remember which one, we were talking about how, you know, doing these shows is a great way to adjust your mind to be aware of what's worth capturing. So after I saw that card holder that you have, Ann and I were talking about it, like, that thing was really cool, we should get some of those. So we ordered, and I just got Right in the Rain holders, and I don't have it on me. It's actually in my shoulder bag now. You know what Right in the Rain notebooks are, right?
No. They're, what is this?
All right, well, write it down. And I'll put links to both of these card holders in the show notes with an Amazon affiliate link, so people can actually purchase them from Amazon, and then we can get a little kickback. But the Right in the Rain notebooks are, they're just little yellow notebooks, but the paper's treated with this stuff that allows you to write with pencils or pens on it, even if the paper's wet. So it's like, you know, people who camp, people who hike, people who do a lot of outdoorsy stuff. So they that company made an index card holder, which is similar to yours. It has a little Velcro strap on it instead. But yeah, in the inside pocket, there's a place to put like your credit cards, but then you can also put 3x5 index cards. And then on the back, it's got a hard surface and it's got four corners on it to hold the index cards in. So anyway, all of that was not just to do a commercial for these index card holders, but I've been capturing stuff on them, you know, during the last week. And I had two observations that I have on my list of Thunder Punch Daily topics, but I just want to throw them at you first to see if there's any juice in them. One, I am of the opinion that, you know, more people should investigate doing audio and video stuff, especially with like this technology, like Google Plus Hangouts now, that make it so darn easy to do this. But, you know, I know people are reluctant to do it, and I totally get the idea of like getting in front of an audience is tough and talking about stuff is tough. We've talked about this in a couple episodes ago in the Roadblocks to Sharing when we're talking about, you know, you stopping yourself from doing the Polytechnicast. And I myself have caught myself not doing it because I think, well, I don't want people to think that I'm some kind of big mouth who, you know, just can't shut up, right? Give it a rest, yours. You do enough of this stuff. But then I thought about it like this. Nobody yells at somebody for blogging too much. You know, maybe they did 10 years ago, right? Somebody who blogs like every day, like, why are you doing that so much? Why do you think anybody cares? But nowadays it's like popular blogs update several times a day, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then people talk about like if you want to maintain like a good marketing presence on things like Facebook or Google Plus or whatever, you got to post 5 times a day, no more, no less, or whatever the standard transaction rate is on that. But the point is that it is considered a given that you're going to update multiple times a day. You're going to write multiple times a day. So I thought, well, how is doing an audio journal podcast or a quick little video journal podcast, how is that any different than blogging? You're sharing thoughts, you're capturing ideas, and you're putting them on your website for people to consume if they want to or not, or if they want to, and if they don't want to, they don't have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it struck me as it was weird that I thought there was a difference between doing a 15-minute audio journal versus doing, you know, 500,000 word blog post.
Yeah, I wonder if that distinction is just going to fade away as people are just get used to having different media options that they can produce and consume right on the spot. Where, I mean, people capture video and then email it to their parents or whatever, right? Like, oh, look at this cute moment. And that's becoming more and more common. People just jump on, FaceTime video, mm-hmm, more and more commonly. And of course, things like these Google Plus Hangouts are pretty incredible now. They were cool already, but mm-hmm, yeah, this new setup is wild. I mean, like any of you listening to this podcast could be doing something very similar. If it's just a matter of getting out and giving it a shot, there's no outlay for at least this aspect of the recording. Like we could just host it on YouTube and record it via Google Plus Hangouts on air. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, it's pretty wild. It's pretty similar to what are some of the other streaming providers?
Ustream, Livestream, Stickam.
Exactly.
Right. Justin TV.
It kind of leaps their capabilities at the same time because all of a sudden you've got these built-in lower thirds and these cameraman capabilities, the idea that there's multiple people here to even chat and easily switch cameras and stuff. It's crazy.
Not to do a commercial for Google Plus Hangouts, but what I'm impressed by is how we don't really have to have any special software to do this, right?
With
live stream, you have to, if you really want to do a good job of it, you have to download this broadcaster and turn it on. Or mm-hmm, in some cases with some of them, I had to launch CamTwist on my Mac in order to grab what the camera was getting and then use that as a camera to be broadcast to the... Anyway, I'm just impressed by how little you need to know in order to do this now. So
the barriers are lower. You can jump. You just have to go through the effort and then feel comfortable with doing it, right? And that's where, I mean, I know When you were starting out blogging, did you feel like, you know, am I going to have enough to say even?
Well, and that's just it. I mean, I know I've said this before, but I don't like to write my thoughts that much. I don't feel like I am a very good writer in text, right? I think I'm a good visual storyteller. I think I'm decent. I'm passable at public speaking. But I don't think that I can write paragraphs that amount to all that much good stuff. So that's why I don't blog that much, right? But when I do blog, usually it's when I have something to say, and which is when I do Thunder Punch Daily, is when I have something to say and the time permits. I was caught off guard by that hesitation that I had when I said, like, when I heard myself thinking along the lines of, well, you do enough of this, back off. And I thought, but if I've got something to say, then why don't I just say it? It's no different than, and I think you're right. I think that those breakdowns or those assumptions about different kinds of media are going to break down in the months and years to come as video content gets more and more consumed, audio content gets more and more consumed online. Anyway, check that one off. The second one. So I've got a story from a classroom where, man, I had one of those moments where I was just grateful to whatever cosmos thing that aligns things as such to teach me when I'm being a jerk. So I'm in my classroom. I'm teaching a comics course right now, and this young man comes to my class who's been to many of my classes. And for the purposes of protecting the innocent, I'm going to make up some details about this. I'm going to transpose some details, but the essence of the story is the same. So let's say this guy has got a thing for Pumpkinhead, the movie, right? The horror movie. Okay. And
is that where the snowman is a killer? What is that one?
Oh, Jack Frost? No.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing my horror movies.
But I'm just picking something out of a hat. I just looked at my desk. There's a picture on my desk from Halloween, so I saw a pumpkin. But so, like, this kid comes to my class for years, and every time I start bringing in examples of ways to think about the storytelling stuff, he's always got an example of Pumpkinhead. You mean like in Pumpkinhead when they did this, this, and this? And it wouldn't always be applicable to the example I was trying to make, but I would let him steer us wherever he needed to make his point, you know? So he shows it to my class this time, and I asked the class, you know, like, oh, are there any good examples of bad guys who aren't pure bad? Can we think of some examples of bad guys who either their motivations are suspect, that they're not pure evil, or they have the potential for good, or maybe they're good and they switch to bad? Somebody who just doesn't come in and just be the villain that we hiss at. And so this kid raises his hand. And I turned to him, and I heard myself say this, and I'm kicking myself for this. I said, you're going to say Pumpkinhead, aren't you? You know, and I'm smiling when I say it. But that was kind of, you know, kind of a jab. And the kid says, no, I was going to bring up Phantom of the Opera. And I was like, damn it, that was a great example. That was a perfect example of what I was talking about. And had I just asked you what you were going to say, I could have honored that without making fun of you in front of other kids, right? So it was a moment where I got to realize that everybody, you can't make assumptions about anybody, you know, like the I can't summarize this kid as the Pumpkinhead kid, and to do that is disrespectful to him, and it's disrespectful to my class. So that was where I was humbled a little bit by a young man surprising me in my classroom.
Well, those sound like awesome topics. I mean, let's hit stop so you can get recording.
Yeah, okay, man. I'll see you later.
Okay, thanks.
See you next week, everybody.
See you. Yep. No, that's cool. It's, oh gosh, you reminded me. I was actually, I've been listening to the, let's see, Marshall Couture's podcast. It's, he does an art cast called the Escape Artist.
Escape Artist.
Yeah. And it's amazing just hearing people sort out their thoughts. And I guess I have a bias toward, I don't go hunting for other kinds of podcasts. So I don't know if it's, if there's podcasts that relate to, gosh, I don't know, accounting or whatever. I mean, I would imagine anything, if someone was passionate enough to podcast about, it would feel creative. So like creative people talking about their process and the things that they are working through and whatnot, I find enlightening, because it sharpens my ability to reflect because I'm seeing other people reflect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm now in this virtual classroom of other people working on the same kind of thing, even though, you know, we're on different projects and we all have our different creative paths, but it's neat to hear and see other people doing that. Anyway, I'm excited that to do that again.
That's at plexhop.com for those who are listening and have a notepad handy. We'll put it in the show notes. Well, that goes back to the thing I was talking about earlier about why I think more cartoonists, visual artists of all stripes should be doing some kind of audio or video journaling of their stuff, of their thoughts. Because we're all looking for something to listen to at the art desk. So,
totally. It's exactly. It's community building too, in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Like I did a Polytechnicast not too long ago where I was actually a bit of, I called it podcast pen pals. And because it really reminded me of reading letters that you know, people in history would write to one another, except we're podcasting to one another, sort of. It's just an interesting way to capture a message in that bottle and then share it, which I'm using really bad metaphors because obviously RSS is like, I mean, that would be some bottle. nanomachine of a bottle. Anyway, yeah. Self-replicating. And anyway.
So one of the other things I've been doing this week, this past week, on top of catching up on my life after kids read comics, is updating my website a little bit. And, you know, I wanted to talk with you about this, Rob, about I wanted to basically get a critique of my work from you. And then I thought, well, maybe we should just do it on the show because we haven't talked about design since episode 26, Thinking About Design Part 3. So it's been a while. I think we're due for some design and UI talk again. But before, let's try to frame it up. Why is it important? Why is your website design important, Rob? Can you tell us?
Well, let's see. Have you ever been in a situation where you've bought something or you walked into a store and you were just perplexed by what you needed to do? Like, I don't know, like tried to pull on the wrong side of a cart to get it out of a cart corral, or I don't know, sometimes try to open the wrong side of a door, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things where we run into a lot of good physical examples that I think are relevant because basically, well, what is a door? I mean, it has a job to do. It's meant to, you know, keep air, the cool air in or out, you know, you know, keep the elements out of the inside and probably keep this place secure, whatever. It's got these jobs to do and you need to, as a user of the door, you don't want that thing to get its jobs in the way of your job, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just want to pass through it and have that make sense and not really even think about it much when you do it. You're off and on a mission to take care of your, I don't know, you're fetching groceries or whatever. So your website and why you would care about the UI and how it looks, it's because it will affect the experience of the users coming to check out what you have to offer. So right. If you're selling something on your site, if you have a blog and you've got lots of information, or you have like a ton, like blogging and videos and sketches and podcasts, and you've got a lot of different content out there, which now all of a sudden you have more at stake. So your audience has a lot of potential value or help or capabilities or whatnot that could be fun, entertaining, or useful for them.
Right.
And if you want to achieve them obtaining that and getting the benefit, you want to make sure that the your transmission thing, you're putting it into the website, you want to make sure they can get it out. Otherwise, it really devalues your work.
And in other words, you're saying that we need to know what we want people to know about us when they visit the site. We need to prioritize what it is that we want our audience to interact with. Which?
Yes, both sides, actually. I'm glad you actually said both sides. It's how I sum it up. It's I'm into, I'm a proponent of user plus author design. So you as an author, you own a business or you own your content, you are sharing it. So you're the provider. Your goals matter too. Like making something that's pure user centric ends up being like the Homer, right? The classic horrible car that Homer Simpson designed because his brother let him lead a project that he probably shouldn't have let him lead. Not that it's bad to get, you know, I don't know. I think it's good to get in over your head. I'm a proponent of that, actually.
Yeah.
But maybe Homer got a little bit too big of a project to get in over his head with that. It was a terrible car. And essentially it's a fallacy to think like, if I find a way to meet every need the user has, I will get my goal accomplished. It actually will get lost in the mix because what matters to the user isn't going to be what matters to you. So you actually have to factor in both to have a healthy exchange.
Well, good. So we can use that as a way to keep in mind as we talk about this. So like we're going to look at my website. This is purely for selfish reasons. I want Rob's input on this. But we're going to look at my website and see where I was and where I went. And I can tell you what I was thinking, Rob, and you could maybe give me some pointers. And we'll use this as a modeling exercise for other people to think about their website presentation. Now, this isn't specific to webcomics either, because I'm talking about my Comics Are Great site, which is not a webcomic site. It's the repository of everything that that I do. So, which makes it very complicated in terms of how do I prioritize what information I want people to see and what stuff I want them to interact with, right? So let me pull up my, I have a screen cap I did. There we go. Of the site as it was before I did the upgrade. So let me stay on the screen for a second and I can walk through. So you can see like I have basically two columns on the site, or I had two columns on the site. Well, I still do, but or really it breaks down to like four columns towards the bottom, right? You scroll down. And my thinking was that I broke it into, okay, what are the three main things I do? And you can see them on the upper right there, where it's like comics workshops, portfolio, and then my comics, right? So I'm a freelance illustrator, I'm a cartoonist who makes his own comics, and I lead comics workshops, and I can do that for you. And then the big latest post area is usually where I put the latest Comics Are Great episodes. So here's the latest thing I did to listen to. Here's the three main categories of stuff I do. And as I scroll down, you get to my calendar. But then also two more categories of a row of previews of podcast posts, and then a row of previews of workshop posts, and then a whole slew of sidebar items of the different ways you can find me, right? So there's my Twitter feed, here's my Facebook feed, here's all links to my YouTube, Vimeo, Ustream, Justin TV site, here's my Goodreads profile. Oh my gosh, so much stuff on there.
You're a very social man.
I guess so. And then I got those stupid sharing tiles there. Follow along. Here's tiles that look like your iPhone screen tiles. Here's all the ways you can follow me on all these different places. And, you know, the site needed a refresh anyway because it'd been this way for about a year and a half. But once I looked at it with fresh eyes, I was like, man, this is a busy mess of stuff. Where do you go first when you land on this, right?
With any site, what are your goals with this?
What are my goals?
And what are your goals as providing this? I mean, are you looking to gain gain requests for your comics workshops? Mm-hmm. Are you looking to gain subscribers for your RSS? Are you looking to have the average visit up to your site be 5 minutes or more? Are you looking to? So there's goals that.
See, and I broke out the hipster PDA and I wrote down some goals, and then I prioritized them, and that's what made me rethink the site's design, because I said, okay, things I want people to do on the Comics Are Great site. Subscribe to the podcasts. Find out about my comics workshop. Read my comics. Hire me as an illustrator. Subscribe to the email list and find out more information about Lean Into Art. So those are like my big five, right? And then I had to break it down into, okay, what's the really big idea? What's the big important one to do here? And then come up with, like, let's break it down to maybe three, right? Trusting that, and this is something you told me once, is that people do scroll. You know, you don't have to have everything above the scroll. People do scroll sometimes, especially if they're interested in what they're seeing. And if you've captured their interest, they're going to scroll. The trick is capturing their interest rather than bewilder them with a fleet of chiclets that I'm throwing at them. I'm like Rick Taylor, you know, coming in the room with a handful of confetti and poof in their face. So
that can work too. Depends on your goals. I mean, I do want to point out that I think it's, let's see, just well, being open about my websites and whatnot too. I know we're not critiquing those, but I mean, if you check out, you know, agz.me or interactive-storyteller.com, there's a lot I need to be doing there to achieve more of the goals that I have for those sites. And I need to get, you know, craft out the time to go update those. So I just want to say, like, even in this current state, or the previous state of your website, you are at least requesting those interactions that you want to have of your users. And perhaps it's those, how you're requesting it isn't matching how you want to yet. I don't know. I need to discover that by us talking more, Jersey. But and then, are they matching the priority you have for those different requests? So a common in web design parlance, it's called a call to action, right? And also just to put a bow on the, you brought up the idea of scrolling, and sometimes it's a concern for folks who are stakeholders or owners of a website, because they may have heard that there's a concept of the fold, right? It's not an entirely useless concept. There's a lot of good you can say, you can derive from saying, you know what, my webpage, my, I have screen real estate that I'll be taking up on someone's smartphone, on someone's desktop. And it's important to value it, and that the stuff that people see first is more valuable. So they will never see the stuff that's off the page if they don't care already, right? Necessarily. So it's important to pull people in, but it used to be this really heavy-handed, and I would imagine it's probably derived from something Jacob Nielsen said in the 90s, right? I need to verify that. I should know that offhand, but I don't. I'm pretty sure, though, that's the case. And it was taken as this heavy-handed rule of thumb, and everyone was like, yep, the fold. There's a fold. It's just like a newspaper. People don't open the newspaper if it's, you know, boring above the fold. You've got it, whatever. Anyway. And in fact, no, and then so many people never read under the fold. That's not true. People scroll.
Yeah.
So anyway.
So do you want to look at the new version?
I totally do. And I want to learn about the trade-offs between the two.
Okay. So here we go. And what I changed. So you can see at the top, I placed the podcasts at top priority. So I replaced those three top tiers of comics workshops, portfolio, and my collection of comics that I've done with, here's the three shows you can subscribe to right now, right? And each one of those tiles takes you to a category page with RSS information and a description of the show, right?
Then super cool. Now, can I stop you for a sec?
Yes, please.
So you said, well, I put these as high priority. Well, how would you feel that they have high priority? I mean, we talked about they're clearly above the fold, but how else would you have the impression of priority if we're...
Well, size, right?
Yep.
Size, height. I mean, if I were to make that big old image of Ryan Estrada there on my site, if that was a big tile of the podcast tiles, then that would certainly make me say, okay, this is an important one, right?
I think this is a kind of a cool, there's a language intersection between UI design and laying out a comic page.
Yeah.
That's that I love. I think that we've had conversations about this before where we ended up having, I think, an easier time conversing about some UI design. I think it was probably back when we were figuring out the layout of Lean Into Art. And we were talking about the prioritization of things on the screen and whatnot. And I just think it's, and we geeked out a bit about, it's cool how the intersection of I mean, they're both visual design languages, right? Mm-hmm. The layout of a, you know, user interface and of a comic page. They're dealing with the same concerns. You've got visual space and you've got contrast, size, importance derived from both the position and the size.
Yeah, shape, size, line, and color, right?
Yeah.
Those all, there you can easily transpose those onto visual design of any kind. Because I could use also a different shape if I wanted to really emphasize the importance of make this thing a circle on the screen rather than a row of squares. Mm-hmm. And I messed around with making these podcast tiles more horizontal so they'd be stacked, right? So the top one would be Comics Are Great, the middle one would be Kids Comics Revolution, the third one would be Thunder Punch Daily, and have them as ribbons. But because these logos were all designed for album art, they didn't translate that well to a more horizontal format. So I just put them in a row like this. And plus, I think that's, it's an expectation thing. When you see a square album art like that, it, when it says the shows, we can make a reasonable assumption that this is going to be an audio thing we're going to download, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then underneath that, I tried to create a balance between the next three items, which I all thought were equally important, is subscribe to my emailing list and Kids Read Comics, find out more information about the Kids Read Comics event, and then Lean Into Art. So these are the other things, these are the other two things I'm affiliated with beyond what you're finding here. These are the two exit points from the site. Here's the three things you could subscribe to, or four things you could subscribe to between the three podcasts and the mailing list. And here's the two other places to find more about me. But if you are more interested, you can scroll down. And is it going to let me do that? Yeah. Okay. So then, come on, Google, catch up with me here. Open that. Is it updating on your screen, Rob? There we go.
It is updating on my screen. Okay. And I think it's in parity with your preview thumbnail.
Oh, okay. So yeah, then, so figuring that once, if I've got you this far, now I can put some of the upsell items, quote unquote. So here's the calendar of the latest events that I'm participating in. This is where you're going to find me next. Here's all the different workshops I'm doing and live shows I'm doing. School visits, smaller horizontal ribbon. Here's all the social media things and a nice quieter ribbon of information. And then you plan on spending some money on me, here's some comics you can get. And then at the bottom, I categorized the site categories and then all the comics I'm affiliated with. So I still have my entire collection of comics, but you don't have to, it doesn't need a huge button at the top. This is assuming that if you've gotten this far, you probably are interested in my comics work. Here's where to find that. So observations?
Wow. Let's see.
What'd I do wrong?
What'd you do wrong?
I'm just trying to be that student, you know. How do we do this right, Rob?
If you haven't figured out, I answered most, I think, every one of your questions with a question. Because, yeah, it's all about trying to do that matchmaking between let's go into, we were talking about your goals. Let's talk about your audience goals for a minute. So you have the assumption that, what's the profile you think of someone coming to this page, whether that's sort of, you know, what are they thinking of, or what's their, you know, their goal, or, you know, demographic info or whatnot? Any of it.
Based on, okay, now I did do some cursory scanning of my Google Analytics, mm-hmm. and my site stats, my WordPress site stats. And I noticed that if I can infer anything from them, my audience is comprised of two different kinds of people. People who are interested in my podcast and or teaching. Usually they kind of go together. I get a lot of gigs from people who find out about me from my podcasts. Like teaching gigs, I should say. And then the other category is people who are just searching for, I get a lot of traffic from my He-Man redesigns that I did a while back in my blog. I mean, I get a lot of traffic from those. So those people, they're just discovering my blog. They're seeing the picture of Beast Man and they're going away. You know, that's not my audience. So the majority of search terms I'm getting are Jersey Droz podcast, Jersey Droz teaching, Jersey Droz comics. So the advocacy stuff seems to be the stuff that people are searching for about me. And that's my number one influx of traffic comes from Google search terms. Yeah. So I thought, okay, that's who I should really tailor this experience for. Is you're here for the podcast, here's the podcast. And then the one thing I'm going to ask you to do upon arrival is, you want to be updated about more stuff that I'm doing? Join my mailing list, right? And then I have the big, I left the big latest Comics Great episode post on the screen or on the main page, but I eliminated those two columns underneath because I just thought it was noise. And if people are really that curious, they'll dig through the category links at the top of the navigation, right? Did okay. I say anything? Did I justify my choices?
No, you said a lot, actually. I mean, so that, yeah, let's see. You're doing something that I think is very useful. You're working on aligning how do your goals fit in with your audience goals, and then making the arrangement of the user interface, the elements on your screen, your web page, match those goals. However, I think it's what I did here is a potential gap, right? So something that maybe could be refined. So you said that you have a tied. There's potentially a strong connection between the people that are coming to the site for both your comics advocacy and for the podcasts. I would consider making that into some sort of focused, basically combining those UI elements. I would consider playing around with that and try to think of a way to say, to first present your interested in the shows. Well, I do these, I do a variety of workshops, bam, 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 couple quick examples, and sign up for behind the scenes, you know, news when they're coming to your area, or let's see. And so, yeah, as you can see, I'm brainstorming live here. So maybe, or maybe it's less about the newsletter, but more about the contact me for bringing this workshop to your school.
Mm.
Right.
No, I did have that element down toward underneath the calendar, right? Mm-hmm. With the school visits, you're thinking that should.
But even more specific, like school visits, I'm lost as far as like what that's cool. That this is like a resume thing, right? This is about proving and showing that you have this. That's what I'm assuming as a user when I see school visits, jerseys in action. Cool. This is about building trust that Jersey does this, right? And I get to, you know, extra verify what I, you know, this feel I have already as far as what Jersey does.
Interesting. Then, so you're saying that action item should be more explicit in what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's funny about that is that I was intentionally trying to use as few words as possible, thinking that I'm trying to get to a more clean, streamlined, streamlined for me, look of the site.
Mm-hmm.
So it should say, well, go ahead.
It's not a black and white kind of thing, but trying to do some matchmaking between the goals of both you and the audience, it sounds like there is an interesting interconnection between the podcasts and your teaching, right? So why not have a unified element that addresses that at least you're working it's convenient navigation if you're not interested in signing up for further interaction about these classes, right? But it's a reminder and then an explicit call to action to say, contact me to essentially do this you know, where I do this on the podcast and I do this in other schools. Well, I can do this for your school or your library and very explicitly have it right there. So it's convenient for the podcast, but it's also like a trust association thing saying, well, you have the familiarity with these podcasts and I do this work and now let's continue this relationship focused on this work that I do. Right.
Okay.
That's the thinking behind it. And then now I would, you know, it's now I would doodle with boxes and whatnot and try to think of what would be a good treatment of that element and then play with it. It's like, what is too verbose? What needs to, you know, what needs to be present? What needs to be pruned? And
So do you think then, like going back to the top, let me do my screen, share my screen again so we can look at this together. Do you think I need to make it explicit on this page that the Lean Into Art tile and the Kids Read Comics tile has something to do with me as well? Because right now they might just appear like banner ads then. If being absolutely explicit is important.
Well, it's possible to set up a grouping that sets that explicit context so you don't have to be repetitively explicit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, so, I don't need to put a header on it that says, this is the thing that I'm associated with. Here's another thing I'm associated with. Oh, I do this thing too, right? So, like, just like how I did all the podcasts in one grouping that says the shows, right?
Because the grouping becomes like this this compound UI element of made of multiple UI elements that are all meant to be serving this compound need, right? Mm-hmm. You've grouped them and they each have an individual purpose, but they represent a collective purpose.
Whoa.
What's up?
Oh, I had a weird thing. The Hangout just gave me like a little image of somebody sleeping in a bed and it said, are you still there? I'm like, dude, I've been interacting with your screen. So that was weird. So, okay.
Technology.
So nested groups of things can be a useful thing to consider as a UI element on a website.
And that's taking a step back. That points to the overall hierarchy of information that you have that would be a combination of what your goals are, the audience goals are, and then the specifics within there. And then potentially when it comes to navigation, then the sort of conceptual hierarchy of here's all the topics I have. And here's the ones that I put at the top to get you to then have the scent to further explore these trails.
Gotcha. And I want to say we are broadcasting this live. And for those who are watching, if you want to go to the Google Plus listing for this hangout, you can actually type comments into the chat if anybody has any questions about what Rob's saying, because he's dumping a lot of really great information on us right now. And Rob, we're going to be doing these ones live, I think, from now on Tuesday nights, right? For the folks who are listening after the fact.
That's the plan.
So, people can follow us along with us on our Twitter feed or on our Google Plus feeds to find out. Well, it's going to be every Tuesday night around 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so people can join in and chime in via comments on the posting on Google Plus to participate in the discussion if you guys have any questions about this, which I think is kind of cool. But okay, so let's go back to looking at the site. One more time. Oh, and I don't have that. Hold on a second. I got to pull up that page now. Here we go. Comics are great. Screen share. This is fascinating to listen to. Here we go. Okay. So any other observations about what I got going on here? Oh, is it not showing?
It is, actually. I'm tweeting.
Oh, you're tweeting about the live
taking
broadcast.
Taking questions and whatnot.
There we go. So I got it pulled up on the screen again. What do you think about, well, when I'm waiting until you're done tweeting, but I have a question about visual harmony on the page too, and I'm wondering how much you think about this. Well, actually, I know you think about this because we designed the Lean Into Art site together, and we had some wrestling matches over some things. So I decided, another thing that I was considering when designing the site was, let's make this thing easier for me to use. Now, when I showed the screen cap of the earlier version of the site, I had a calendar on the site, and that was with a WordPress plugin that allowed me to create calendar events that were actually linked to blog posts. So you hover over the date, gives you a pop-up that says, here's the event that's happening. Click here to read the blog post with all the information and maps and such, which was really cool. But it was a bear to deal with. It meant that I had to do, like, if I had recurring events, like a six-week course, I'd have to do six entries for that and associate each entry with the source blog post. Kind of a pain in the butt. So I decided, you know, I'm already using Google Calendar. I'll just make a public calendar that's tied to my Google account that I can make Google events on Google Plus with, and it'll just pump it to that calendar, and then it'll just appear in a calendar listing. However, Google Calendar embeds are not very customizable in terms of color and look and feel and font. So I'm stuck with this blue calendar listing on here in the middle of all of this orange and yellow and red.
Yeah, it does stand out. So you were curious about the overall color harmony of this?
Or, yeah, like how worried should I be about that?
I don't think there is a black and white answer for that. I mean, I do feel it's not ideal, but perhaps by having it, having the yellow immediately surrounding it, it does.
See, you just got that little sleepy thing, didn't you?
I did get the little sleepy guy, Google Plus. And so
this is looking out.
Anyway, by having the yellow surrounding that element, that calendar element, it does create more contrast and it draws my attention to that. It's not harmonious. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe I should get rid of that yellow box around it altogether. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, I can see how you're following like some consistent rules for, oh, things that are appearing as content elements here are getting this yellow box treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But that for that element in particular, it does make it stand out.
Interesting. Okay.
Because there's trade-offs there. I mean, there's reality of this. Like you can come up with, a design that, I don't know, is practically a video game, but then that's going to be a lot of development, probably, right? Unless your CMS magically supports that. And here you are, you've got this super cool calendar functionality where people can come in and subscribe to it, and your maintenance of that, which is important to consider, is fairly convenient. And for the trade-off, it's not as beautiful as you'd prefer. But then again, I mean, I'd imagine this might become customizable in the future, you know?
Well, and, you know, a helpful listener out there may have some kind of fix, some kind of like plugin, some kind of snippet of code that will allow you to customize the color scheme on Google Calendar and embedded Google Calendars. I haven't searched that extensively. I did like a little bit of perfunctory, you know, investigation into that, and then just finally decided, well, I'll live with this for now. The convenience factor is more important to me than it looking absolutely beautiful. This is in progress. I'm going to talk to Rob about this, you know, and get his take before I commit to a whole lot of work on the page. Right.
It's well, and there you go. I mean, that's a good iterative approach. I mean, you're not optimizing early is oftentimes not a great approach. Because
I've made that mistake the hard way.
Oh man, have I ever. It's, you know, it's tough because it's easy to start working on something, get excited about the minutiae on some tiny aspect of it, and then say goodbye, extra time.
Yep.
I'm off playing in magical learning land and this is fun. And then all of a sudden your project doesn't get finished on time.
Yep. That's exactly it. Yeah. No, I've spent a lot of time on navigation elements on a site that took a lot of work. And then all of a sudden I found out that it didn't work with several other sidebar elements or other design elements. And had I just used something simpler to start out with to test out the interactions of all these different things on the page, I would have been in a much better place. So anyway.
Are these comments related to... this episode? I'm on the YouTube page.
And, I am not on the YouTube page. Let me go there right now. YouTube Facebook.com/comicsaregreat is where people can find the stream. And I'm looking for the stream. Oh, I guess you posted a link to it, didn't you?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just curious if those have to do with that, but I can't tell. Show one new comment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, there he is.
Yep, Ryan Estrada.
It is Ryan Estrada.
Ryan's typing up a whole email about his critique, ryanestrada.com. Oh, that's awesome. He's in here all alone. Oh, Ryan. Well, thanks for participating in the live broadcast, Ryan.
Yeah, that rocks. Thank you.
And actually, this would be a good time of day for. I assume this would be a good time of day for him. It'd be early or in early afternoon his time, so we could possibly get him on and lean into Artcast. We didn't have that plan for this one, but if Ryan, if you're available and willing, I know you probably wouldn't mind hanging out with us.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And yeah, that's something that we plan to start doing at some point here, is having more of not only this live participation aspect, which more than of Ryan Estrada and my wife are welcome to partake in. Was it last week or the week before? But anyway, yeah. Getting guests on and whatnot too. It's fun.
So Ryan's saying that I found that every simple change that he made to make the design of the whole story made a big difference in sales.
This is what I see a lot in my day job, and where you get into the sort of the advanced, the advanced layers of this is, well, you could be experimenting live on a project that has enough traffic where you can start to see the effects of your choices. But more, a safer approach is, well, to have a control and then an experimental option, and they call that A/B testing.
Yeah.
And so what you do is then you provide the link you're giving out is actually something that's doing this routing between your control and then your changed version, and then you can be a little more scientific about, well, what changes are causing, you know, the desired effect.
Curious, Rob. Do you know of? Oh gosh, I'm putting you on the spot here, but this is just off the top of your head. Don't go work yourself into a lather trying to find something for this. But do you know any good resources for doing A/B testing on WordPress sites? Because I was trying to find something about that, something that could like just create a what do they call that? A sandboxed version of the page that I could just make changes to the CSS file and it would propagate on just the protected version. Now I use things like Espresso or CSS Edit, which are a WYSIWYG kind of editor. What you see is what you get editor to do that kind of thing. Not always the best at doing that. What I should describe for the audio.
Well, you're talking about both the ability to host two different versions to not poison your site, right?
Yeah.
And then the ability to do the A/B test
without doing a complete WordPress install with the exact same theme.
Oh, right? Gosh, yeah, that'd be a ton of work. There are WordPress plugins that allow you to try and have different simultaneous themes mm-hmm. enabled. And let's see, what would be another way to do that? Another way to do that would be via controlling some of your CSS. See, it depends on what you're changing about the page. This is the A/B testing is obviously the simpler the page you're dealing with, the better, right? Where if it's just raw HTML and images, that's pretty darn easy to clone and change the clone. But then, yeah, WordPress, you're going to probably want to be able to run two different themes against one another to have your changes isolated. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's been too many years, you know, since I've been out of using WordPress to suggest something off the top of my head.
Right, right.
But well, I do recall there being plugins that allowed parallel themes. And that was about having sections of your website and whatnot, where they each could have a different look and feel and navigation. And so I know it's possible. But
maybe it's time for me to finally just ditch WordPress and switch to something like Squarespace. Mm. After playing around with it on the Lean Into Art site, you know, pretty nice at times. So yeah, I haven't even seen the new one. What's that, right?
What's that? Oh, Squarespace 6 is pretty awesome too.
Is it?
By the way.
Yeah. I haven't messed with it yet.
Yeah, I played with it when it was still in beta just before it rolled out of it. And I'm impressed. I mean, it has less features as far as it doesn't have forums and whatnot. So, I mean, we couldn't just switch Lean Into Art to version 6 without figuring out a lot of things.
Okay.
But the blogging engine of it, it seems to be like a incredibly more robust version of Posterous. It's like super deluxe paid for version where you get to it. It's integrated with all the, with sharing your content with other networks and whatnot. And and it's very slick. That's, I don't know. I don't have a big detailed review of it. I was impressed. But then I was too busy to really go into the nitty gritty. Impressed enough to go neat and then say, well, I'm just going to stay on 5 for now.
Well, that's the other thing. Okay, this is the other thing that we should point out. And I think this is worth bringing up for those who are thinking about, you know, like updating their website based on some of the input that you had today, Rob. And Ryan Estrada said he's typing up an email critique of my website, which Ryan, if you could also include in that critique if I have the permission to post it on the show notes for this episode, because I'm sure other people are probably interested in hearing what you have to say about that. But no big if you don't want me to share it. But I think a closing kind of point we can throw on this is that...
Oh, this, I do have one more resource too, by the way. Oh, as far as the A-B testing,
yeah.
An enabling tech that we didn't mention is Google's website optimizer. And I'm pretty sure if you just sign up for their webmaster tools or whatnot, or if it may be available if you have a Google Analytics account.
I remember seeing a link to that in my Google Analytics. So,
yeah.
What does that do? Because I haven't messed with it.
It lets you set up an experiment. So it will track the analytics between an option A and an option B. And so.
Wait a minute. So I make an option A and option B, leave them both live on the site and see how people interact with both?
Exactly. Yeah, that's the point of it. So ideally, that WordPress plugin you were seeking, you would want to have two versions of the page living at the same time and then have your audience essentially be, you know, randomly sent to one or the other.
Okay.
And one way to do that through, they obviously have this wired in through Google Ads and whatnot too. So you could be, doing A-B testing on ads and then also on the pages that the ads go to and all that stuff. It's a whole ecosystem.
Oh my gosh.
But you don't need to get into all that detail. You can still just be testing the landing page.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, that was going to be the closing point that I was going to make, is that this stuff takes a lot of time. And some of the battles that we fight in this is, what do we have time for? So like going back to the calendar thing, it's like I wanted to do something that was convenient for me to update. Something that didn't require, like it wouldn't take like an hour to update my next couple months worth of workshops that are going on my calendar, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, this A-B testing will probably be limited to my homepage for now. if I go through with that, we'll see what Ryan Estrada has to say in his email too. But I think you gave me some really good food for thought here, is that making the calls to action. I mean, this is common knowledge, but, you know, one of the things we talked about off mic was sometimes it's really difficult for us to take our own advice on certain things, right? It's like, I'm good at helping other people figure this out, but then when it comes to me figuring it out myself, sometimes I get myopic. So an explicit call to action, that makes perfect sense when you say the words, but then when I make a button that says school visits, I walk away from it going, well, there we go. People know that I can do school visits for them. And then you very nicely pointed out that it doesn't say I can do school visits, it just says school visits. So...
The thing with all of this design is that if you want to validate it and see that it's working, it's awesome. You use analytics already, so you're doing some of this, and obviously you're super used to critiquing your own work. But even then, it's easy to get caught in. I mean, it's a feedback loop based on your own perspective, and it's helpful to get other input. That's all. Get out of your head. Especially, yeah. And whatever you can do to get into the user's head, that's all the better.
Yeah, and this is the kind of thing where you don't necessarily need an art buddy like Rob Stenzinger, who's a UI guy, just asking a fresh pair of eyes. I mean, this is stuff we do, at least I do when I'm making comics all the time, is I finish the page, I hold it up, and I say, hey, you know, does this read right, right? And I'll just give it to him and say, how are you reading this? And then I get their reactions to it. And then they say, well, why did you have this here? What is that supposed to mean? Okay, well, now it's not clear. I need to fix that, that kind of thing. So any art buddy will do in this situation. And Robert Clemens Jr. is in the chat saying, just design the site like you would a comic book. Yeah, that's what we were talking about earlier, is that how much this website stuff is a lot like designing a good comics page and having a visual narrative in the work. So it's obvious to me that this is going to be one that we follow up on in the near future after I take your advice and fix a few things, take Ryan Estrada's advice and fix a few things, and we'll see where I land. Put him in the show notes too.
Awesome. Yeah, it'll be good to, and we can do this with my sites as well once I get around to doing an iteration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turnabout is fair play. So
absolutely. I am. Need to get to that first, but yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're both pretty busy right now, as ever, right?
Yeah.
But let's go back to an earlier Lean Into Art episode, you know, chipping and, what was the title of that one? We were talked about like balancing our workloads and then just chipping away at piece at a time until we get through each little thing.
I don't know, but I bet it had something to do with the Karate Kid.
I bet it did. We didn't make a Karate Kid reference this time. We need to get like a bank of sound clips of Karate Kid stuff that we just so we don't even have to refer to it. Just fire off a Mr. Miyagi clip. Don't know first time, you know.
Sold.
All right. Well, we're at an hour, so should get going. And this is where I say, hey, everybody who's listening, if you found this stuff interesting, compelling, or if you thought Rob's insights were really good and more people would benefit from hearing these kinds of things, there's a great thing you could do that's absolutely free. You can go to iTunes. You can give us a star review. You don't even have to type up a review. Just say 1 to 5. How many stars do you give the show in general? Don't even have to rate this episode, even though this one I think is a 5-star episode. Why am I asking you to do this? You say, oh, I don't even use iTunes. I don't like iTunes. I hate Apple. Well, a lot of people use iTunes to find podcasts, to find netcasts, whatever you want to call these broadcasts. So another thing you could do is you could also go to YouTube where this post is, where the video is going to be archived, and you can give it a little thumbs up, a little like. That would be helpful too. But what does that do? That helps other people find this stuff, and more people find this stuff, more people can benefit from Rob's UI, UX background knowledge, and having my site humiliated on the air for the benefit of your knowledge, everybody. Watch me do things wrong.
Wait. I got prepped for the wrong podcast. I thought I was supposed to, you know, thoughtfully analyze it. If I was here to humiliate it,
I know.
I would have been taking a page from, I don't know, Fine Insult Comics or something.
You've been served and all that kind of thing.
Unprepared day for Rob.
I didn't prep you properly. Next time, that's how we'll handle it. It'll be the explicit, a different kind of explicit episode. But yeah. Good food for thought, Rob. Thanks so much for lending some insights and also Ryan Estrada in the YouTube chat for helping out with the show today.
Yeah, my pleasure, Jersey. Thanks for putting your site out there for thoughtful discussion. I think it's really cool how it's coming along. I noticed a lot of other changes too, but this is a big topic.
It's a big topic. And the big idea was I just stripped out a lot of information and kind of relaxed about knowing that if I've got them past the scroll, they're going to dig for more information. As long as I have redundant places where the categories can be found, right? Comics, workshops, podcasts, blog. As long as those are in redundant places, people will find what they need to find.
Can I drop in a little nugget right at the end here?
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just curious. You know what? Why not consider integrating comics into some of those sections? Like just a little panel here or there. Because there's something like it's people looking at things draws people's eyes, right? So the observer seeing a person or a punching dragon or a dragon getting punched and then flying across a series of elements in your footer, right? I don't know. All of a sudden there's a, and especially if it's two panels, and so now you're really involving them in that area. So I don't know. Maybe it's a food for thought for considering using comics in like snippets to maybe enhance people observing what those different sections. Sequential art.
So you're saying, oh my God, I can't even believe this didn't even occur to me, Rob. My God. You just kick-flipped me, you SOB. You just, you know that move you do with Ryu or Ken to make the guy spin around on one leg and kick you in the face 12 times? You just did that to me. I already was thinking about the darn sight in terms of comic storytelling. Why not have those elements interacting with one another in some way? Oh, my God.
Well, food for thought, you know? So I think it might be fun. Sounds like...
You just guaranteed I'm going to be working a little bit harder on my website now. Gosh, that's a really great idea. All right, I'm writing this down. So, okay, while I write this down, let's close out this episode and quit watching me, roll my eyes in wonder at the prospect of elements actually interacting on the page. I think that's a really neat idea. Anyway, okay, so Rob, thank you so much for the critique and for all the insights, and thanks for doing the show with me.
Phew. My pleasure, Jersey. This rocks. Thanks for having me here and for doing Lean Into Art as co-deans. It's awesome.
So we will be back next Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Google Pluses. So you should go follow Rob and me on the Google Pluses. And we'll be sharing event listings on when these things are going to be happening and where. And then that's where we'll post the link to the live chat or the live stream and chat comments. So until next time, I have been Jersey Drozd of comicsaregreat.com and Jersey on Twitter.
And I've been Rob Stenzinger of interactive-storyteller.com and Rob Stenzinger on Twitter.
Okay, bye.
Show notes for this episode can be found at leanintoart.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at the user leanintoart, and you can reach us via email at leanintoart@gmail.com. And remember, leaners aren't wieners. Thanks for listening.